Hello everyone and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where I, Rod Jones, content manager, and Kate Cooper, head of research, policy and standards at the Institute, take a critical look at what's been happening in the world of leadership and management up to the 10th of August 2020. Hello Kate.
Hello Rod.
Well Kate, our first story is a report in the Harvard Business Review that remote managers are having trust issues. Preliminary findings of more than 1,200 people in this longitudinal survey by Sharon Parker and her team on how COVID-19 is impacting both managers and employees' work, well-being and productivity suggests that many managers are struggling in their roles. For example, about 40% of the 215 supervisors and managers in the study expressed low self-confidence in their ability to manage workers remotely, and similar numbers reported lacking the confidence to influence remote workers to do their job well and coordinate a team of remote workers effectively. Many managers participating in the survey also had rather negative views about remote workers' performance, with 38% agreeing that remote workers usually perform worse than those working in an office, and just under half doubting that remote workers could actually remain motivated in the long term. Kate, how can a manager build trust with their remote teams?
Leading and managing people that you don't see, Rod, is so different to being in the same office with people, being able to pick up cues from their body language, their tone of voice when they're talking to other people, what's going on. And I think sometimes we assume that because they're there and because we can see them, they must be doing productive work. And of course, when they're not there and we can't see them, there's a whole different sort of way of measuring performance. And I think that's what people are expressing their disquiet about, that you have to learn to trust more, to be able to say what it is that you want from that person, how they're going to evidence what it is you want, what are the outputs from the job, not the inputs, which of course watching people in an office absolutely is. So we will get better at this if we understand that it's not the same. It's a different way of managing people. It's a different way of relating to people. But I think fundamentally, we have to trust that they are trying to do a good job and actually help them articulate and describe what that good job looks like so they can show us they've done it.
Thank you, Kate. Our next story is a report by Lance Lambert in Fortune that 7 out of 10 US workers say COVID-19 will permanently change the nature of work in their own career. Other highlights of this research by Salesforce include over half of US remote workers say they miss going into the office, 2/3 are interested in incorporating more remote work post-pandemic, half of US workers say they're considering a career change given their current work situation, with just under half wanting to work in a less volatile role or industry than the one they currently work in. And finally, nearly half of business leaders think technology spending at their company will increase due to the pandemic. Kate, to what extent does this research from the United States match the UK experience?
Working at home is obviously something that invokes really personal responses, as we can see from this research. Some people love it and think the freedom, I don't have to commute, I can manage my day, I can work curious hours if I want to, I'm being judged on what I deliver rather than presenteeism. Whereas others are saying, I miss my colleagues, I miss the structure of the working day, I like the separation of leaving my home and moving towards an office. So you're never going to create a system that suits everybody. And that will be the same in the US as it is in the UK. I think we're going to get better at working remotely. As I said previously, we're going to have to think about the technology that helps us do that. We're going to have to think about the management styles. But we're also going to have to recognize that for a lot of people, especially I think the younger demographic, as our earlier research showed, they like going to work. Maybe they'd like more flexibility as to what the working day looks like, but they like a geographical location. They like to know that they're going to meet their colleagues there.
Thank you, Kate. Our next story, Kate, is taken from the iNewsletter by Serena Sandu that nearly 200,000 people aged 50 and over have dropped out of the workforce in the UK and become economically inactive since the coronavirus outbreak began. According to analysis by Rest Less, the membership community connecting older people with job opportunities, the level of economic inactivity rose by 1.4% for over 40s, more than any other age group during the pandemic. Stuart Lewis, founder of Rest Less, said the figures were an alarming additional warning to the true impact of the pandemic on older workers. Mr. Lewis also highlighted that the group were more likely to face age discrimination in the workplace, which he expected to rise in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. Kate, do you agree with Mr. Lewis that if we lose this generation from the workforce entirely, we risk losing valuable key skills and key workers from the workplace for good?
This reminds me of the conclusions we reached from our Untapped Talent Research Report, Rod, where we identified how older workers were being excluded in terms of performance appraisal, training and development, and how much they wanted to stay involved, many of them, and what a huge asset was being lost if they were retired and disappeared, as it were. So this is particularly worrying because the knowledge of customers of being able to manage all sorts of unexpected eventualities because you know you've had similar occasions before and you're drawing on that experience, your knowledge of your customers, of your suppliers, of the way the organisation works is really invaluable. And I think we lose that at our peril. And we have to remember, in economies where there are ageing populations, this is a huge customer base. And we would not want to lose those insights that older workers can give us into our older customers. So I think a diverse workforce that properly represents the customers that you hope to serve is really important. And that's what people should be thinking about when their redundancy schemes or when they're recruiting. Let's look for that balance. So yes, I do agree with Mr. Lewis here. It could be that expediency now or convenience, the lack of confidence of these older workers, actually in the longer term is a really bad decision. We know that staying in work is really good. It's good for the companies, but it's also good for the individuals and it's good for the economy. So let's keep encouraging it.
Thank you, Kate. Our final story is taken from conversations with the famous leadership guru Ken Blanchard, who looks at the reasons a leader should ask regularly for input from his or her direct reports. Blanchard suggests three reasons. Asking for input engages your direct reports. By asking for input, leaders can turn disinterested employees into engaged ones. Asking for input sets up a mutual two-way conversation. By asking for input and listening well, leaders create connect. By asking for input and listening well, leaders create connectedness and build trust with those they lead. And a climate of trust leads to more productive employees and a healthier organization. And finally, asking for input stimulates people's best thinking. It taps into people's inherent intelligence and creativity. The question is, Kate, how should leaders ask regularly for input to gain these benefits from remote teams?
Well, of course, anything Ken Blanchard has to say about leadership one wants to pay attention to, doesn't one, Rod? Because he's an absolute classic in the field. But it seems here he is just reiterating what any good manager would take for granted, not just because they want to engage the people that are in their teams, but because there's a wealth of talent and ideas there that it would be foolish not to use, inquire, investigate. So, of course, the benefit is two ways. But any manager who thinks that they have all the answers and it's not a good idea to ask the people who report to them is definitely missing a trick. People won't stay with them. They will be more likely to move on and they've had far fewer ideas and suggestions to draw on.
Thank you, Kate. And that concludes this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories.